I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of All the Small Games, a podcast all about indie games. And what a week to be recording a podcast all about indie games.
I was going to say, my guy, this is not just another episode of All the Small Games. Baby, this is E3.
This is the All the Small Games E3 Spectacular. I have watched more trailers for indie games than I ever have in my life in the last week. Easily over 200 trailers. Also, my name is Andrew Levins. My co-host, John Valenzuela.
Correct.
And we have compiled our top 10 best-looking indie games, the ones we're most excited for, that were announced at E3 this year. Of course, E3 being a massive video game event with tons of conferences that went down over the last week. I mean, it took over a week pretty much to get through the entirety of E3, which is why this episode is so late.
Is it still called E3? Because it's also Summer of Gaming.
And it's Summer Games Fest, and yeah, it's a lot of different people trying to get their brand on these conferences. But yeah, I mean, it's very different to what it was 10 years ago. What were your thoughts overall of all the showcases that you watched, John?
I mean, I've been having these discussions with various people, and it's funny, like, there are people at my work who like games, but they're very much AAA gamers, and so I'm like, what'd you think of E3? And they're like, oh, Starfield looks cool, or like, this AAA game looks great, and they're like, what about you? And I'm like, alright, sit down, you're gonna need 15 minutes for what I'm about to say to you. I really think this year... Like, E3, my feeling on E3 is it's a cyclical thing. Like, you have years where there is a ton of new stuff announced. You have years where stuff that was announced previously get release dates. And then you have years, kind of, I feel like this is what this year was, where it's sort of like all the big stuff that's been announced is either released or is still being, you know, worked on. So there weren't as many, like, oh, shit kind of moments. A lot of the trailers that came out were just cinematics.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Like, all that a cinematic does is tell me that you know how to make a short animated film. Like, I need gameplay.
And that you are working on a game,
of course. Of course. It definitely gives a kind of vibe, but there's no, like... There's no sense of, okay, what am I going to be doing in this game? How will my interaction with this game take place? What about you?
Sure. Is this game a roguelike? We don't know yet. So I watched pretty much every presentation, which was just a dumb thing to do, but I did it. I committed and I got in there. Some of them were terrible. Some of them were excellent. But I thought the main takeaway from this was that more than any other year, this was like the year that indie games were like, just killing
heroes.
It was crazy how many some of the bigger showcases, like Xbox and Summer Games Fest, like the highlights of those showcases were indie games. And then there were almost 10 showcases that only had indie games in them. And so I felt, you know, the obligation to watch them all, and I didn't regret watching those. They were all, for the most part, really well put together. I got a big shout out to Day of the Devs. An excellent showcase that I watched that was put together by the Double Fine guys and some other people. I really liked the Wholesome Direct, the Guerrilla Collective. There was a lot a lot of amazing stuff on display when it came to indies. I watched, yeah, the Xbox and Nintendo showcases this year. I thought Xbox was far and away the best of the bigger showcases.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus. Like, I've read a few articles of publications being like, yep, we voted this one the best.
It was just like a great commercial for Game Pass, and there were some awesome indies in there. There were no indies in the Nintendo showcase, but as a Nintendo fan, there were a few franchises like WarioWare and Advance Wars and Metroid that I was overjoyed to see show up. But I thought they also had a lot of really low points in their showcase, whereas I don't think there was any moment in Xbox. Like, I think I'm going to be really excited for Forza 5 when it comes out this year, which is something I never thought I would be hyped for.
I have a giant soft spot for the Forza Horizon series.
Did not think you were going to say soft spot.
What did you think I was going to say?
What do you think I thought you were going to say? You had a giant something off.
I like Horizon. Although, you know, again, they just showed a cinematic. I think it would be hilarious if they were like, so Forza Horizon 5 is a collectible card game.
No, they showed heaps of gameplay. They did It was like a 10-minute presentation.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that's what won me over. Like, seeing the actual gameplay, I didn't actually realize that it was a fun game and not a super realistic, boring game. It looks really arcadey and fun. So I'm definitely going to be going in on that. But that's a big game, John. Who cares? Who cares a single shit? Because it was all about indie games this year. In fact, what the biggest losers of E3 for me were all of the third-party showcases. Capcom, Square, Gearbox. They didn't need to have a showing. Square, I had some announcements but squandered them. Capcom was kind of doing announcements on games that we either knew were already coming out very soon or were already out that didn't really need to be said in a showcase. Whereas I think all the indie showcases, like, they should have existed. They made sense, and I loved when we got to see a few games show up across multiple showcases. You know, Sable is going to be such a massive hit this year because it was such a star in so many of the showcases, and a few other games
like Sable definitely occupied the sort of space that Spider-Man or a Last of Us 2 did a couple of years ago. Like, it's the game that stole the entire show, essentially. And especially to have
and you had Japanese wallpaper like show up and sing,
to have a demo out immediately as well, and a release date.
You can play Sable. Yeah, totally. So very, very. Is it July?
September 23rd. Let me check. I have a. I was keeping an eye.
No, you're right. It's my sister's birthday. That's when it's coming out. So
yeah. I was keeping an eye, and actually, there's like, it was a good E3 for release dates. So we got Sable on September 23rd. Annapurna's 12 Minutes, the one with Willem Dafoe and James McAvoy and Daisy Ridley, that's coming out August 9. Psychonauts 2 finally has a release date. It's August 25th.
Yep.
Skatebird, which we've spoken about on the pod a couple of times before. It's the really cute kind of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game that you play as a little bird on a tiny skateboard. That's coming out August 12th. And even though it's not a game release, but I find it interesting that Annapurna announced their showcase, but it's July 29.
Yeah, I mean, EA are doing a much later showcase as well, I think, in July. So a funny thing to announce.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kind of tacked themselves at the end of like the Guerrilla Collective showcase.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it's great to have, like, these are games that we've been hanging out for a while, and it's nice to finally have, like, boom, there we go, release date.
Yeah, I will say, though, I don't think any of the showcases that I watched during E3 were anywhere near as good as the Playdate one. That's still far and away my favorite showcase that I watched.
That was a really well-produced one.
Devolver, I think this was the year where the jokes were the least edgy, and therefore was the humor hit more than it usually for me. And gosh, they had some good games on display this year. So yeah, we're going to be getting into our 10 favorite games each, and we're going to try and do it as quickly as possible because it's a lot of info. At one point, John was suggesting we do like 20 each or something. It was going to be like the longest episode of all the small games.
That being said, you in the Discord, you were like, I've watched 200 trailers. How long was this short list you put together?
50. So I had to whittle down to 50.
Right.
Yeah. There was a lot of good games. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I have about 30, 31 games, 32. So I've got my top 10 and then I've got my 20 on like honorable mentions on top of that. So we probably
Okay. Well, let's do some, Let's do some honorable mentions. Are you just going to mention the name of the game?
I'm literally just
going to
say, I think, yeah, doing honorable mentions will be like, help you work out what might be on my top 10. So I'm just going to go really quickly through mine. First up, Ollie World. Second, Fire Girl. Metal Slug Tactics.
That looks fine.
Far Changing Tides. Harold Halibut. Norco. Signalis. Paparazzi. Toem. Unmetal, Sifu, Atomic Heart, They Always Run, Power Wash Simulator, Elekhead, White Shadows, No Longer Home, Salt and Sacrifice, Trek to Yomi, Citizen Sleeper, Silt, and Recolit.
Okay, there you go. That's John's short, honorable mentions. I grouped mine into categories of honorable mentions. So we have food games, soup pot, Hot Pot for One, Potion Craft, and Ramen. Then we have Rhythm Games, Musical Story, and Unbeatable. Then we have Stop Motion Games, Harold Halibut, and Vocabulantis. And then we have possibly not actually indie, but made by indie studios, Tactics Games. You mentioned one of them, of course, is Metal Slug Tactics. They're bringing back the Metal Slug franchise for the first time in ages, and the people making that game are Dotemu. Who gave us... John's raising his
hand. Quick aside, they already bought Metal Slug Tactics back before. They made a couple of mobile games that were not very good, almost like tower defense-y sort of games.
Well, it's very smart of them to make them good, that's for sure. But yeah, Dotemu, of course, gave us Streets of Rage and... one of the Wonder Boy games in the past. They're an excellent studio that put a lot of great effort into animation. And man, them doing a Metal Slug Tactics game is very cool. We also got the announcement in the Nintendo Showcase that Advance Wars, a tactics strategy game from the GBA, they're re-releasing the first two games in a package together with updated graphics, which I wish were sprite, but they're not. They're 3D. I understand that it's easier. And I was a bit like, oh, that sucks, kind of. But then I saw the team working on it are Way Forward, who are best known as the indie developers behind the Shantae games and numerous other games that we've talked about on the show. So very cool to see two big, big tactics games being worked on by two of my favorite indie developers.
Nice. Any more on your short list? There should be a ton more.
I mean, there are heaps. Okay, if we're going to do that, okay, let's do it. Akatori, Archvale, Hunt the Night, Wolfstride, Potioncraft, Yokai Inn, Hoa, Bear and Breakfast, Rainbow Billy, The Curse of the Leviathan, Unpacking, and Phantom Abyss.
Nice. Yeah, there's a couple of, like, Bear and Breakfast, yep. Unpacking looks really good as well. That's a comprehensive list you got there.
And, like, that's leaving out a lot of games that, like, you know, looked fine, but not games that are necessarily to my tastes. I also have, like, it's not really a top 10, it's a top 15 that I assume you're going to say a few of.
Wait, you've got a top 15?
Not really. I just assume that once you say it, I'll just take it out of my list.
Yeah, look, I think we'll go one for one, and if that shows up on the other person's list, we can just have a conversation about it. Because I guarantee you there's definitely stuff on my list that's on your list as well.
Yeah, unreal. Well, I'll go first with my number 10. These aren't ordered in any way. These are just 10 games that I'm looking forward to that we saw at E3. I tried to limit it to games that I didn't know existed before E3, with one exception. One game I did know of before, but I just thought it had such a strong showing at E3 this year that I'm very excited for it. Whereas I was only mildly excited for it before. So number 10 for me is a game that was on your honorable mentions list. It's called Toem, A Photo Adventure. And it is one of the many photography games that showed up at E3 this year. I have been playing a lot of new Pokemon Snap, and more recently Umurangi Generation, which I'll give a proper review for next week because I am fucking loving
Crazy.
That game.
Okay.
But yeah, Toem, A Photo Adventure is, man, like it's a black and white adventure game. Almost kind of like an RPG, but yeah, it's hand-drawn visuals, and you're just making your way around this very gorgeously drawn world, solving problems with photography and taking on missions and snapping shots. It's being made by a group called Something We Made, and apparently it's coming out this year. Unfortunately, all we know it's coming out on is Steam, but I'm hoping that almost all these games I mentioned are going to come to consoles too.
They probably will, which is good. But hey, I have Steam, I have a PC, so life's good for me.
apparently, okay, this one, you can play this one on Mac, so I can play it too. I just know I won't if it's on Mac. It looks gorgeous. I love the style of gameplay. It's one of the, I mean, I feel like 8 out of my 10 games are top-down adventure games that seem to be like the genre of choice for indie game this year. But yeah, I think it looks really gorgeous, and I'm super excited to play this. It's spelt T-O-E-M, and John and I will make an effort to post all the trailers we talk about in the official All the Small Games Discord and on our Twitter as well.
So one of mine now?
Yep.
Let's talk Death Trash. So there's a few games on my list that I was aware of prior to E3. They're not like... There's a couple that I was like, oh, I've never seen that before, and then a few in there that I knew about and was really glad that they showed at E3 or Summer of Games or whatever the fuck you want to call it. So Death Trash I've been aware of beforehand. I keep an eye on the dude's Twitter where he posts fairly consistent updates, not necessarily like qualitative updates of like the game's coming out here, but like check out this cool gif of a dude getting his hand blown off or something like that. So Death Trash is a post-apocalyptic world, set in a post-apocalyptic world. There's cosmic horror in there, there's like punks, you can have a skill where you throw up and then you can pocket that throw up and use it later for something else. It's got a little bit of like old school RPG in it. It's got a little bit of modern action gameplay. Like it's kind of twin stick shootery. It's one of those like weird and wild titles that just looks really, really cool. So it has a release date, August 5th, apparently. Definitely coming to Steam.
This year, yeah.
Apparently it's Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Windows, Mac, etc. As to how up to...
You say it. Say the L word, John. Say the L word.
Linux. It's coming.
It's coming to Linux.
The best operating system ever, Linux. Yeah, so this is one. I had no idea it had a release date, so super happy that I'll be getting to play it in about a month and a bit. And it's developed by Crafting Legends. I've never heard about them before. I get the feeling, game development studio in Berlin. I think...
Yeah, this looks European as
European
hell.
As hell.
Like a gorgeous, gorgeous, disgusting pixel art.
Yeah, it's their first game. So strong, strong debut as far as I'm concerned.
Someone is pissing or throwing up in every one of the screenshots.
How can you not want to play that? That's amazing.
Exactly. Cool, so my second game is called Fallen Aces. Did you manage to check this game out, John?
Oh, Levins, you know this is on my top 10.
Okay, unreal. So Fallen Aces is essentially what if Doom was a crime noir game. It's a first-person shooter. The trailer was amazing. It was in the...
So hard-boiled.
It was called the E3 Indie Game Showcase, which is hilarious considering half the other showcases were also indie game showcases, but whatever. The more the merrier, right? It's being developed by Trey Powell and Jason Bond and published by New Blood Interactive. And it is like a Doom game in that, like a classic Doom where you're moving in a 3D space, but the enemies are 2D.
Yeah.
And it's a noir game. You've got a thick, you know, like crime accent, American crime accent, a novelist
that
accent.
That whole kind of like the dame had legs all the way up to her forehead kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And, it is super violent. You're punching dudes' heads off and like blowing them up with shotguns. It just looks so fun and such a great idea for a game within this genre.
I gotta say, it looks like they've really done the melee combat well, because one thing I've never really been a fan of FPS melee combat, generally because it's literally just you stand in front of the enemy and hit, move back a little bit, hit. This looks like they've got like dodge mechanics in there and all kinds of stuff that sort of makes it a little bit more, I guess, palatable or interesting.
Yep.
I'm watching the trailer now, and it's bonkers how bloody this game is.
So good. It just looks so fun. And, like, it just such a, like, you know, we've seen so many first-person games. It's certainly not one of my favorite genres. But this is just such a great use of it. And it, you know, really feels like an old Doom mod that I enjoyed when I was in school.
It reminds me a lot of, like, an FPS that LucasArts released a long time ago called Outlaws. Like, very much that 2D enemy in a 3D space kind of thing.
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, I gather this will probably only come to PC, and hopefully I'll be able to play it.
I wouldn't put it past. Half the time, if it gets interest on the PC, it's going to come to another console.
So, the publisher New Blood Interactive have put out games called Ultra Kill, Dusk, Amid Evil, Unfortunate Spaceman, Faith, Gloomwood, and I think they're all... they're all first-person.
Faith actually looks pretty cool. We won't get into that now, but it is out now, and I want to check it out. But anyway,
apparently a demo for Fallen Aces is coming out soon, so stay tuned.
Nice. All right, Fallen Aces ticked. I'm keeping up as we go here. And I've done Death Trash. So next one up for me, Somerville.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm glad you put this on.
This didn't make your list.
It's one of the maybes. I figured you would either put this one or another one just like it on your list.
I mean, so
because this is the a new game by one of the guys from Playdead.
Yeah, one of the Dino Patty, who was one of the co-founders of Playdead. He's worked on Limbo. He's worked on Inside, and it really shows up in the trailer of this game, like huge Inside vibes from this game. So it appears to be about a family who are undergoing a journey against the backdrop of an alien invasion. I don't think it sticks as strictly to like side-scrolling platformer as something like Inside did. The trailer definitely shows moments where you're like, you're sort of running up the screen along the bridge and stuff like that. Very atmospheric. It's one of those ones where it's just, I just have to say, watch the trailer. It's that same kind of like very dark, low poly, but like beautifully executed art style. I cannot wait to play this game. It looks incredible.
It looks to be like you're a family trying to escape, right?
I don't know if you always,
it's a limbo.
I don't know if you always play as the same character of the family or if you'll switch around, which, you know, might be interesting from a narrative standpoint. Game is set to be released for Windows and all the Xboxes in 2022. And my gut feeling is this is the sort of thing that will definitely day one on Game Pass.
Yeah, that was the best thing about the Xbox showcase was just every single game. It's like, oh, and it's day one on Xbox.
God bless Game Pass. We've praised it so many times in the past, but this E3 just really rammed home like, oh man, Game Pass is one of the best developments in gaming over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and I haven't been using it recently, and then until very recently, and then whatever the Pikmin game I was playing.
Oh yeah, Wild at Heart
last week. Wild at Heart. Then I feel like all I want to do is be on my Xbox this weekend, even though I want to finish Ratchet and Clank and stuff. But just all those demos and all the games that are coming to Game Pass.
Yeah, can play Sable through Xbox, the demo. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very exciting. Oh, yeah. There's a ton of demos,
yeah,
actually.
So many.
On the Xbox.
All right, what's next?
So speaking of Wild at Heart, I praised that game because it reminded me a lot of a Pikmin game, and so too does a game called Tinykin. Yeah. This game was developed by Splash Team, and it's going to be published by Tiny Build. And in this game, you're like a regular little kid in your room, and you get shrunk. And so you basically have to enlist the help of the Tinykin, which are pretty much just little bugs, kind of like Pikmin, except you're in a shrunk. You're in like a giant version of your room because you've shrunk down. So you're like, it reminds me a little bit of like the early levels of like Katamari, where kind of like this tiny little speck rolling around a big office or whatever, rolling up like pens and erasers and things like that at the start. In this year, you're kind of like going in through his room and his house, and everything's giant, and there's just bugs everywhere, and you have to use your Tinykin to like, you know, lift things open for you. It's very it's, it kind of reminds me of Fallen Aces, in that it's like a 3D space and all of the environment is 3D, but you're a 2D model and so are all the tinykin, and so it looks very much like a Cartoon Network style of animation. I hope this comes to consoles. It says at the moment, I just know it's coming to Steam in 2022. You can add it to your wish list. I think there's like the one game from the PC showcase that I was like really jazzed for.
It's time for you to get a PC, Levins. Come on, you can put I've got
too many.
You can
other
put
consoles.
Linux on it if you want.
I just bought another console today. That's right, the Zelda
oh,
Game
wow.
and Watch.
Okay, hopefully they bring Tinykin to the Zelda Game and Watch. Sweet. Tinykin. Yeah. Okay, cool. Next up from me is Encased. So I think I've mentioned a few times on this podcast before that I am a giant fan of the original Fallout games. I've definitely talked about like the Wasteland 2 and Wasteland 3 on here before. And Encased, just I watched the trailer for it and I went, you know what? You guys have absolutely just nailed exactly what I want. So Encased is this game where it's set in an alternate 1970s, and they found this gigantic dome in a remote desert. This dome is filled with like weird and wonderful technology, and so they send people in to research it and discover that anyone they send in, you can't get them out. Living things cannot leave the dome. So if you're going into this dome, you're going in for good. So you can choose from, I think, 5 different disciplines. You can choose like a scientist, a security guard, a manager, like various kind of things. It's isometric, turn-based combat, set in this like really mm-hmm. weird location where you're trying to research what's going on. Just absolutely 100% my shit. Like, I cannot All right. wait for this. This looks fantastic. Developed by Dark Crystal Games. And published by Black Tower Entertainment and Prime Matter. This says it's coming to Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Microsoft Windows, Linux, and Mac operating system. I'm beginning to wonder if that's just what Google puts in, if the developer doesn't put anything in. Like, let's try make them do all of them. But yeah, this looks great. This is going to really scratch an itch that was left by Wasteland 3 and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Awesome. So a game that I knew about through like, you know, very little sneak peeks in the lead up to E3, but was just absolutely like, it's one of my most anticipated games of the year now, is Garden mm-hmm. Story. This is developed by Picogram and it's being published by Rose City Games. And this is like an absolutely gorgeous like top-down adventure game. Looks very much like an early Zelda game, except you play as like a grape and you have to do jobs for everyone in the guard in this. It's crazy. There is an invasive rot, so like you have to do there is some action in this, but it looks like, yeah, it's all about like you're on this big, vibrant island, and you have to like help out everyone, all the other people that live in the garden, and rebuild your own home. So it's a kind of like an RPG kind of, an action game kind of, and a you know, farming game almost as well. And the art style and color palette is just utterly gorgeous. This looks like so much fun. Looks like there's dungeons and all kinds of great stuff. It looks like there's tons of content in this game, and I can't wait for it. It's coming out in summer 2021. Which I guess is our winter, so hopefully in the next 3 months.
Nice.
And it's coming to everything, I think.
Yeah, it would be. That sounds about right.
No, just says Switch and Mac on this, but I doubt
okay.
that's true.
Okay, finally, the Mac exclusive they've been waiting for. Yeah, it looks very, very cute, very fun.
Switch like, and Steam. There you go.
Definitely scratches. If you've got a Stardew Valley itch that needs a scritch, this is going to hit it for you. And I feel like there's a ton of games coming out like that at the moment that sort of went like, we can do Stardew Valley, but in our own way sort of thing.
This also kind of reminds me of, obviously there's the vegetable, you know, fruit connection, but I definitely wished that there was a bit more to Turnip Boy Evades His Taxes.
Sure.
And this, I mean, I get that, you know, that was like almost like kind of a joke game. This is like, you know, a much bigger version of that where you're a round fruit and or vegetable in a Zelda-like adventure.
Yeah, definitely. Next up for me, cool. So this is one that I knew about prior to E3. But again, it was great to see it get some good shine over the last week. Moonglow Bay.
Oh yeah, man, this looks so good.
We've joked about it in the past, the presence of like fishing mini games in various games that we play. This whole game is a fishing RPG. So you're a rookie fisherman living in the town of Moonglow Bay, where everyone else is too afraid to fish. And so you've got to you get out of there in the water and try to kind of, I think, bring the fishing industry back. It's got this like beautiful, vibrant voxel art style. It's basically, again, it's kind of a Stardew Valley-esque game, except you fish instead of farm. Even though you can fish in Stardew Valley, it's not kind of the main point of the game. Yeah, I'm so excited. I love a fishing game. I love there's such a collecting kind of angle to fishing games, where you're desperately trying to like complete your encyclopedia of fish. This looks like it's going to totally, fill that need for me, along with what's probably going to be a very like pleasant and emotional story as you help people around the town of Moonglow Bay. Couldn't be more excited for this one. It looks fantastic.
It looks so gorgeous.
It's developed by Bunnyhug. Developed by Bunnyhug and published by CoatSync.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, this is on my list too. It looks awesome. It's that kind of very 3D, chunky... what do they call them again? Is it voxels or something? Voxel, yeah, voxel art. Which is quite appealing actually when used well. So yeah, this is great. It reminds me a little bit of dangerous, that hilarious fishing one?
Ridiculous
shotgun,
fishing.
Where you fish with a shotgun. Ridiculous fishing. I got ridiculous fishing vibes from some of the trailer, which is always a good thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so we both knew this was coming, and I'm totally cheating. Can we just quickly list out our favorite Devolver games from this year's E3? Because I loved too many of them.
One second. Let me just do a quick...
None of their games made your top 10?
No, I think they did. I just need to remind myself exactly what was announced.
So my favorite Devolver games are Death's Door, Loot River, Trek to Yomi, and Wizard with a Gun.
I'd swear I have... How have I not got Death's Door in here? Oh, Death's Door... Death's Door has a release date, doesn't it?
It possibly does. Also, well, I fucked it up, sorry. Loot River isn't actually a Devolver game. It's been published by Superhot.
Death's Door is coming out 20th of July. Studio. That's why I haven't included it in my list, because anything with a concrete release date, apart from Death Trash, okay, which I clearly fucked up... so Death's Door is coming out on July 20th, and
you've already been sent a demo for it.
I have a preview that Very I jealous. Cannot talk about, but I am okay. playing, and once the embargo is lifted, I am very much looking forward to running you through what it's like.
But this is another action hack and slash top down Zelda-like, except you play a crow in a world where there's no death, except you have to venture out of your world and take down lost souls. I think I believe that's kind of the plot. It looks so fucking good. Like, the action just looks so tight. I love that you're just playing as this bird. It looks like you have like tons of weapons and upgrades and crazy enemy variety. This looks so good.
I want to talk about it so bad, but I cannot.
Okay, just shut up. Developed by Acid Nerve and published by Devolver Digital. Yeah, 20th of July. You haven't got much longer to wait till we can play it. So yeah, let's move on to another Devolver game that I liked a lot. And that, of course, is Trek to Yomi. This may be my game of
E3. Wow, okay, big call.
This is a game that is being developed by Flying Wild Hog, who I don't know.
Oh, I've heard, but I've definitely heard of that name. By, hold on.
Okay. It's being developed by Leonard Menchiari, and Leonard Menchiari's last game was The Eternal Castle Demastered, or whatever it was, which was one of my favorite games of last year. And this seems to be kind of like a similar style of adventure game. Flying Wild Hog are in Poland. What are they?
Shadow Warrior. So the Shadow Warrior series, the updated version 1, 2, and 3. A game called Evil West. I'm into Trek to Yomi, obviously. They made the there was that Devolverland Expo free game they released a couple of years ago. A game called Juju, which I've never heard of. Hard Reset. Wow. So it looks like they kind of specialize in first person stuff. But Trek to Yomi is it a side scroller?
Yeah, I guess it's just like Eternal Castle in that it's a cinematic adventure.
Very cinematic. That trailer, I was just like, oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's very Akira Kurosawa, the Japanese black and white filmmaker who specialized in samurai movies, just like this game, because you play as a young warrior named Hiroki, you have to, like, I guess, protect the town by moving left to right and slashing your way through everybody, and it looks so good. Visually, graphically, like, it just looks like a perfect game for me. So I'm extremely excited to play this one. I think it's coming to PlayStation and Xbox and Steam.
Nice. It's funny, I'm seeing it, like, a bunch of these indies I'm looking at, because Moonglow Bay was, like, coming to PC and Xbox One, Xbox X, and Xbox or Series X and Series S. I'm like, oh, have they kind of taken a fairly aggressive exclusive approach to indies this time around?
Yeah, maybe. Then we have Wizard with a Gun, which is coming to Steam and Switch. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, like, visually, like, an unbelievably great art style. It opened with, like, a cartoon cinematic, and then revealed itself to be, like, another top-down adventure game, except this is a survival game, akin to one of your favorite games of all time, Don't Starve. I've never really gelled with the survival games, but this one, the charm of it just looks so appealing to me that maybe this could be the one that wins me over. It's being made by Galvanic Games, and, being published by Devolver.
Nice.
A sandbox survival game. It's set in, like, you're a wizard with a gun, so you can shoot and you can cast spells.
I think you can get magical ammo as well for your gun that has various effects like fire and lightning and whatnot.
That's great. Yeah, sign me the fuck up. I'm super excited for this.
Yeah, look,
they were my favorite Devolver games of the year.
Full disclosure with Devolver's showcase this year, I definitely, like, Trek to Yomi is in my honorable mentions list. Wizard with a Gun is cool. I think I'm just a bit, like, burned out on survival games at the moment. Death's Door, obviously, fantastic. Like I said, it's not in my top 10 because it has a set release date, which means we'll be talking about it fairly soon. Inscription, like, has a really cool aesthetic, and, like, I like the kind of dark vibe to it. But because it's a card game... Again, card games I'm a bit burned out on as well.
Sure.
Especially
when they have that other one coming out soon that's like a card cheating game.
Yes, that's way more appealing
to me.
Card Shark?
Yeah, yeah.
There was Demon Throttle as well. And
that's the one that's only coming out physically, which is, it's a, you know, classic Devolver thing, I guess, but...
It looks pretty good. Very, throwback to NES... Kind of
bullet hell
sort of thing. Yeah. It did have one of my favorite moments of E3, where during the trailer it showed like a little bit of clearly a cutscene from the game. But it's a cowboy going, "That demon kissed my wife!"
Or something.
Which I was just like, that's freaking hilarious. I love it. But then there's like there's another game, Phantom Abyss.
Yeah, I put that on my list. I'm interested in that. It seems different. Like, I like that Devolver occasionally puts stuff out of their comfort zone. I mean, that's how we got Fall Guys. And this seems to be more like, you know, maybe the next attempt at getting an online multiplayer that really gels with people. It's kind of like, you know, Curse of the Hidden Temple or whatever that Nickelodeon show is, where you're running around trying to steal shit from a tomb.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, just every time I've seen it, I've just been like, my brain just switches off. I'm like, not for me.
Yeah, I mean, I reckon that's going to be like a PlayStation Plus exclusive for a month, and then everyone will play it, and it'll either catch on or not.
And Shadow Warrior 3, I mean, that's not technically a small game, I guess, even though Trek to Yomi is made by the same studio, so it could come under that umbrella. Looks cool, violent. Yep, cool.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's Devolver. What do you got next, John?
I think my guess is this is going to be on both of our lists. Replaced.
Hell yeah, man.
All right, so Replaced.
So here's my theory. A few years ago, Xbox announced a game that was a beautiful pixel art cyberpunk game called...
The Last Night.
Does it look like that one? The Last Night. And everyone was like, wow, this is amazing. And then everyone was like, wow, the guy who makes this hates women. And then the game just kind of mysteriously just stopped getting updates. Apparently they ran out of money. And everyone's always like, hey, Xbox, where's that like that potentially sexist cyberpunk game? Is that still coming out? And there's been radio silence. And so someone at Xbox was like, quick, give a studio more money to make a not sexist cyberpunk pixel game. And that is how we got Replaced.
Yeah. So Replaced is it's a side-scrolling platformer style game developed by Sad Cat Studios and published by CoatSync. Who I think I mentioned previously is publishing Moonglow Bay. It's a sci-fi retro-futuristic action platformer. In the game, you control an artificial intelligence that finds itself trapped inside a human body, and you basically need to explore the city that you're in, a place called Phoenix City, which is kind of, you know, dilapidated and janky. There's combat. The combat in this looks fantastic, like really, really satisfying combat. Yeah. It's got that beautiful, like, pixel art sort of. It's interesting to see that they're now making pixel art games, but involving like really, really elegant lighting to them.
The lighting is
phenomenal. This looks great. I'm so into this. Can't wait for it. And obviously I will have to wait for it. But it's coming to Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Windows PC. And will come to Game Pass.
That's great news.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, Replace was one of the ones that I haven't heard of before. And when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh man, this looks fantastic.
So I accidentally said this game was a Devolver game earlier, but it's not. It is being published by Superhot Presents, the studio started by Superhot, and it's been developed by Strucker Studio. It's called Loot River, and this is a game that combines top-down action hack and slash with Tetris.
Yes!
Because the left stick moves your character around, and obviously you can strike and block using the triggers, and then the right stick is how you move the various floating platforms around. So you can basically like stealthily move your character around enemies instead of taking them out, or manage to like strand weaker enemies so you can go in and take them out, or alienate strong enemies so you don't have to go anywhere near them. Really, really clever idea for a game. And I don't know how good I could be at this game. Maybe I'll suck ass at it. It looks very difficult. It is a roguelike, but it's not so much procedurally generated. Like, overall, it's like there are parts of the game that they bring together as opposed to everything being completely procedurally generated each time.
Yeah, I think certain parts of it are procedurally generated, but they have set pieces that they'll fold in. And the procedural generation is done in such a way that it follows a strict set of rules to make sure that you always wind up with a sort of playable run through the game. This is on my top 10 as well. Yep. This looks amazing.
Yeah, so this is coming to Xbox, Steam, and Series. Yeah, Xbox and Steam, pretty much. It looks so good. I'm so keen for it. I don't know. Do we know when it's coming out? January
21st,
2022.
Okay.
No, wait. That's FromSoft. Why is Loot River? Why is some? That's bizarre. I don't know why. For some reason, it had the Google had scrubbed the information for Elden Ring.
I'm just looking it up now. I mean, here's the Steam page. What game may not be appropriate for all ages? What kind of game is?
I think it's just coming
what
soon.
Kind of game is? Yeah, I bet you it's coming soon. 100%. Planned release date. Wish list now. Does that come after July? When's Wishlist now? I'm super excited for this one. Love the art style. Like you said, such a creative and interesting combination of gameplay mechanics that will lead to
very cool,
incredible combat and tactical potential, I reckon. Yeah.
Unreal. What else you got, John?
All right, so obviously Loot River was on my list as well. Tick that one off. Ooh, we're running out of stuff here. Next one up is one that I'd seen. Actually, when did I see it? Maybe it was the Guerrilla Collective showcase just before E3. It's called The Big Con. Have you?
Oh, man. Thank you for telling me to check this one out. Not least of which, the funniest... This is in the Tribeca showcase.
Yes, yes.
And had an introduction by Melissa Jones.
Oh, amazing. So good. So The Big Con is a game set in the 90s, and you can definitely tell that by the aesthetic of the game itself. It definitely looks like something Nickelodeon would have released in the 90s.
One of the art designers said that her main influences were Hey Arnold and The Simpsons.
Yeah, you play as a young woman who has run away from home after her... Her mother sort of ran into financial trouble with the mafia, I think, or some kind of criminals. And you're essentially grifting your way across America to try earn enough money to help your mother save her video store from being taken away by these criminals.
Yeah, you have to raise $97,000 to save your mother's video store.
Yeah, and so I think you get it seems like a part you fall under the wing of a more experienced grifter. And you kind of have to make your way around areas. Like, I think there's a mall at one point. There might be a main street at another, and just work out how to con money out of people. Some of it is figuring out how to steal stuff. Some of it is literally doing confidence tricks. There's pickpocketing. It just looks it's so bright and so cool, and I just love the kind of story behind it. This is another one that I'm very excited for. It's developed by Mighty Yell Studios,
they're from Toronto.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the first game they've done. And it says that it's coming to Xbox One and Windows.
Hell yeah, Game Pass.
Yeah, gotta love it. That Tribeca showcase ruled.
Yeah, it rocked. It was very, very
good. So
good.
I
was amazed at how many showcases I felt like that afterwards, and there were all the indie ones.
Yeah.
My next one is going to be a quick one. This showed up in a little section of the Day of the Devs showcase. They gave about 5 minutes of the showcase to Asobu, who is a Japanese collective of indie game makers. I talked about one of their showcases last year because that was the showcase that introduced me to the phone game Renal Summer.
Of course.
But one of the people in the Asobu Collective is working on a game called Elec Head. Elec, like electricity, head. I have to say, this is a almost platformer-free top 10 for E3 this year. There was very few platformers announced, in not just the E3, the indie space, but also in general. There were very few 2D or even 3D platformers that I saw show up in all the showcases. Elec Head is awesome. It's been developed by someone called Soyumi and Nama Takahashi. And you play a robot that has electricity coursing through your body. And whenever you land on... a platform, you send your electric current through that platform, and you can alter your environment by supplying electronic charge from your own body to everything around you. And it just looks like a really fun puzzle platformer. There seems to be a demo, like an hour-long demo that's been available on Steam for a while. I watched a YouTube of most of it earlier at some point yesterday. I'm hoping this game gets completed and comes to consoles. At the moment, it's Windows only, but it looks really, really fun.
Yeah, that was in my honorable mentions, and. Yeah, just the strength of the kind of puzzle elements to it. I was like, "Oh, this looks like it could be really yep. interesting." I like the there's one point where you like throw your head to bring a platform to life, and then you run your body, and your body has a little countdown, obviously, for how long it can survive without power.
Yeah, you can throw your head away from your body, which is a great power up.
I am down to my last two of my top 10. How many have you got left?
I have four.
Interesting. Okay. That means I doubled up more with you. Also,
I can't count because I tried to pull the old switcheroo of making all the Devolver games count as one, and then I also thought one was yeah. Whatever.
Son of a bitch.
I'm already playing the big con.
All right. Let's go with Endling. Did you see the trailer for this?
I don't know. Don't know. I don't know this one.
So Endling is a... I'm doing my research now, which is terrible of me. But Endling is a side-scrolling, essentially adventure game. It's called exploration platform game where...
Oh, so this was in the Guerrilla Collective showcase from the week before E3.
That's what I would say. Right, okay. Well, I've thrown it in, so suck it.
That looks great.
Yeah, so you play as a fox... I think if you know in it, like the environment is kind of collapsing. It has a very heavy ecological focus. You play as a fox. You've had kids. I think that's the term for a baby fox. And one of your offspring is taken by humans. So you set off to actually find where they are and get them back. The whole way through,
it's kids. It is kids, you're right.
The whole way through, you kind of have to protect the babies that you have who are following along with you. You need to feed them, you need to protect them, hide them from predators. You're also tracking the baby that was taken, so like there are mechanics where you can use your sense of smell, and when you will find certain instances where you can actually see a recreation of the scene that occurred at that particular point. The trailer shows you kind of like sneaking through factories and you know making your way around humans. I just think like it just really caught my eye. I think the art style is beautiful, and you know I don't think the ecological message will be too much of a slap around the head or won't you know like. Fuck it, what am I talking about? I'm never the sort of person to be like, "Well, this game's too woke." Like, I think it's telling an important message and it's telling it in a really interesting way. And yeah, the gameplay looks very interesting. So it's developed by HeroBeat Studios, and it's coming to, it looks like, all major platforms.
Awesome. Yeah, this is another Limbo-like.
Yes.
And I bring that up because so is the next game I'm going to talk about. I assume this is going to show up on your list. It's called Planet of Lana.
Yep, you just finished my list, buddy.
Well, why don't you talk about it? Because I got three more to talk about after this.
So Planet of Lana is it's a hand-painted game to begin with. So it looks absolutely incredible. Like you said, it's an inside-like, so it's a side-scrolling platformer, adventure platformer. According to the website I'm on, a planet that used to be a place of undisturbed balance between human, nature, and animal has now become something else entirely. The disharmony that had been in the making for hundreds of years has finally arrived in the form of a faceless army. But this is not a story about war. This is a story about a vibrant, beautiful planet and the journey to keep it that way. So it looks like you play as a young person... who is essentially adventuring through this world and, you know, like I said, hand-painted, so it looks absolutely stunning, this world. There are some great moments during the trailer where you, like, run into giant enemies.
Yep, I love the part where it zooms out as things fly down from the sky.
Yeah.
It just looks so good.
There was one bit towards the end where it's some giant toothy monster with many eyes that sort of reminded me a little bit of the spider section of Limbo.
Yep.
Yeah, I you know, it's an inside like. This looks like, do you remember that terrible game we played like a year and a half, 2 years ago? Planet Alpha or something?
Yeah, like the only one of these games. One of the few. Actually, I have played a few bad Limbo likes, but yeah, that was a
Yeah, this looks like what I wanted that game to be.
Right, yeah. Okay, great.
So yeah, super excited for that. And it's published by Thunderful Games.
Wishfully is the devs.
And Thunderful Games should be familiar to you because they are the company that bought Image and Form.
Yep, they also put out Say No More, Lonely Mountains Downhill, lots of games. Yeah, actually, I was very surprised we didn't see any Image and Form games at E3 this year.
Yeah, they are working. They did announce recently that they've got several new SteamWorld games in the works. So maybe it's just a bit too early in the development cycle to speak about them.
But yeah, this was Wishfully Studio. This is Wishfully Studios' first
game. Nice. Hell of a debut.
Absolutely. Okay, so I've got three funny ones to close it out with. You can decide which is the weirdest of these three. I'll start with probably the least weird. It's called Dodgeball Academia. Mm-hmm. Developed by Pocket Trap. It's going to be published by Humble Bundle. Actually, there were a few quite great-looking Humble Bundle games. Shouts to Humble Bundle for putting, I think it was at least three very cool-looking games out at various showcases this year. It's funny, there are a lot of indie publishers that put out across the showcases, like, you know, 3-4 games that looked really good, and by doing that had way more on show than some, like people like Capcom and stuff did, that, you know, I guess I would have watched a Humble Bundle direct. Yeah. You know, oh well. Yeah, we've got Dodgeball Academia is a sports RPG in which you are playing dodgeball, and everything in the world is dodgeball. And considering we just got the news from the team of who gave us Golf Story to not expect Sports Story anytime
Damn
soon.
It.
If you need a sports RPG game, you definitely want to check out Dodgeball Academia. It's coming out this year. I don't know what it's coming out on, but supposedly it is you follow a rookie dodgeball student named Otto. And you're basically got to work your way up in the world of dodgeball. But I feel like there's lots of things in the real world that are like, you know, use dodgeball mechanics. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Perhaps it's going to be on PlayStation as well. I'm trying to find out. Maybe everything. I don't know. It's hard when these games. I think it's, yeah, Steam and PlayStation at this point. Possibly more. Looks great, though. Really, really great cartoony visuals. And the gameplay looks like a lot of fun. It is, I guess, yeah, I'm trying to find what it's coming out on. Definitely PlayStation, definitely Steam. Next we have a game called Moonlander.
Right.
And I didn't say Moonlander, but this game is inspired by Moonlander because you play a little spaceship that comes down to a planet which is inhabited by monster cows. And this sounds like a real goofy, like, you know, dumb 2D adventure platformer, but the art style reminds me of Ori and the Blind Forest or Will of the Wisps. It's gorgeous, except you are this little spaceship that's like shooting at these like insanely monstrous cows.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a platformer where you are a spaceship. That's a cool hook. If you listen to the podcast, you know that we're big fans of puns, and it was pretty fun to see a game called Moonlander. Where you are a spaceship shooting cows. That sounds
like fun. The gameplay reminds me of old heads will remember Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which was a summer arcade game, I think, a long while ago. So you fly around, there's combat. The difference is some goddamn terrifying cows you're up against. I liked in the trailer this sort of like heroic voice they had, you know, commenting on like, you know, like I hope that voice is in the game and it's the spaceship and it would just randomly say stuff like, you know, oh, there's a cow kind of thing.
So you can get a demo for this game on Steam now, and it's coming to all consoles later this year. It's been developed and published by The Sixth Hammer. So yeah, that's Moonlander. And then last on my list is a game called Pico. Yes. And Pico is a game where you make tea for cats.
Yeah.
But it's like a really, really good tea making simulator because you have to like pick the leaves of the plants and then dry them, and it's all about brewing tea at the right temperature depending on which tea leaves you're using. That as a big tea boy, this really spoke to me. Even though I may not be the greatest cat boy, I am definitely a tea boy, and this is one of the games in the Wholesome Games Direct. Wholesome Direct, man, if you haven't watched that, it is so chill and relaxing, and there's so many great ideas for games in that showcase. I really enjoyed it, and this was the standout game for me. Pico.
You did.
It's been developed by Kitten Cup Studio.
You did. You told me to watch this trailer, and I started watching it, and there's a cat there, and I'm like, I know Levins isn't big into cats, and then the cat started making tea, and I was like, whoop, now I get it.
I guess Levins likes cats now. Hey, I have to give a shout out. There is like this ongoing podcast narrative that I hate cats. I've seen the error of my ways, and I've met many a great cat recently, including one that I've been hanging out with constantly for the last 5 years, Angus's cat, Kitty Pride, who has accepted me as her best friend. And yesterday when we were recording Hey Fam, came and sat on my lap for like half the episode. So I love
cats.
I'm going to make these cats so much tea.
I did not mean to imply that you hated cats, merely that like the cat wouldn't have been the driving force for you liking this game.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm a dog man.
Totally.
I grew up with dogs. I was raised
by
dogs.
I'm a dog.
And now I'm a bunny dad.
True.
Bunny dad. Yeah. And unfortunately, cats are like the mortal enemy of both of my favorite animals. But I love them.
Maybe you can be the bridge. You can bring them all together. Well, goddamn, yeah. Fam, that was our E3. That was the big hits that we saw.
Yeah. Man, that was a ton of fun, John. Thank you so much for ignoring when I could not count.
No worries.
But yeah, there was just so many good games, and I look, if you I know there's a ton of content out there, including games that you could be playing, but if you are ever in need of some passive entertainment, the Guerrilla Collective Showcase, the Day of the Devs Showcase, the Wholesome Direct, and the Tribeca Games Showcase, I might be forgetting one or two, but it's just great, really calm, chill presentations of so many games that I can't wait to play. And as like, you know, E3 is just a big commercial, so all you want is just a list of reasons to keep playing video games, and I have definitely over 100 games that I will absolutely be checking out day one.
I'd love to see a graph that shows the number of trailers featured in E3 over time, because I feel like E3 was digital last year, it was digital this year, and I feel like the amount of trailers shown has just ramped right up.
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, there was no E3 last year.
No, there was, but they had the Summer of Game thing last year.
Yeah, yeah, which has nothing to do with E3, though. So if you want to get into it, that's like Jeff Keighley trying to like be an E3 that's not E3. And like they were having a war on Twitter, and they both try and claim the big showcases as their own thing. It's very amusing. I love stupid egos in gaming. But yeah, no, I mean, look, for me, indie games were the winner, and therefore you and me are the winner, yeah. John. So congratulations, John Valenzuela, you won
Levins,
E3.
Congratulations to you as well. Where are you going to go? Disneyland is generally the accepted term at this point.
Oh, wow, that's the winner of E3 gets to go to Disneyland.
Well, it's always like, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do? I'm going to Disneyland.
I love the idea, though, of like, congratulations, Microsoft, your entire staff are going to Disneyland.
Congratulations, so that character is it for... from Sable, you're going to Disneyland.
Yeah. That's it for our amazingly big E3 Best Indies episode. We'll be back next week with a regular episode featuring reviews of games we've actually been playing instead of reviews of trailers we've been watching. But maybe you prefer the trailer review, all the small games. You might even prefer us going doing a deep dive on a particular indie game, and you can find a brand new episode of us doing exactly that on our Patreon. We did a deep dive on the classic first-person indie puzzle game, The Stanley Parable, which you can find over at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. $5 a month gets you a deep dive episode into an indie game every single month. And very soon we'll also be doing a second episode each month featuring, it's going to be called All the Other Things. And it's going to be John and I reviewing television and books and all the other content that we enjoy that isn't video game related. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. You can find John online at 16tacos. I'm at LevDog. Next week, we have a couple of emails to address. So I'm not ignoring you, Linux guy. I promise we'll respond to your emotional
email.
We'll
be fucking getting into it, son. Don't you worry. Also, if you have listened to this and you feel some type of way about E3, we'd love it if you hit us up and told us what the games you loved were. We always love to hear other people's favorites, particularly ones that we might not have heard of, so we can check them out ourselves. You can message the show on Twitter. We are at All The Small Game. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/allthesmallgames. And our email address is allthesmallgames@gmail.com.
But the best place to discuss indie games with us is in our Discord, which you can find by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Have a great time watching trailers all weekend. Let's do it every weekend. No other content, just trailers.
No, too much anxiety.
But now, there's one more thing. How many times did you hear that over the weekend?
Every time they did it, I'm like, oh no, come on.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.